Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 4:8. It was 2 weeks ago that we saw John was taken into heaven. He's left his view on earth, looking at the churches, to being taken up to heaven, and where he stays from now on, seeing things that are down here on earth. And when he was in heaven, the first thing he sees is four living creatures, just like Ezekiel. We covered that. They worship God day and night. We also read that he saw 24 elders. And we can tell that the 24 elders have to be, we're going to see it again today, they have to be former humans on earth that were saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They were given white robes of righteousness. So what he sees are church people up in heaven. And he also saw a sealed scroll. And last week, Joel showed a video, Last Prophecies by WorldNetDaily.com. And we're actually posting a few minutes of it on our website so that people can know that it kind of factors in with Revelation. And so Last Prophecies by WorldNetDaily.com can be ordered. Huh?
The final
prophecies. He showed a video called The Final Prophecies by WorldNetDaily.com. And if you're listening online, you can listen to whatever we cut off. You can listen to the rest of the video at watch and listen to the rest of the video by ordering that from WorldNetDaily.com. And so this week we're going to look more carefully at the 24 elders, and they're about to sing a song. And I'm going to just lead in by saying I think it's one of the most important songs in the Bible, because I think if the people that have taught me this understanding are right, it is a song that makes it clear that the rapture happens before the seals of the scroll are broken, meaning the rapture happens before the 70th week of Daniel, and maybe even before that, because it's possible that the rapture happens before the seals are broken and that the 70th week of Daniel doesn't start until some of the seals are broken. We'll see that going through here. But I have to go back to 4:8 to let you see the four living creatures and the 24 elders so that you'll understand what I'm going to get into today. So in 4:8, it says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." See, these are angelic creatures, seraphim, some people call them. But they're angels. They're not humans. That's what they're doing. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then implied in verse 10, then the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Now we see again, they were given white robes of righteousness earlier. So these are saints, these are people. And this is really important. The four living creatures, they sing what they're singing. And then the 24 elders, they have this worship and singing. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor." So you see these four going, "Holy, holy, holy." And then when they get done, then "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory." So there's this interaction going, which is called antiphonal. You'll see it even in churches today. You'll have the pastor will start a worship dialogue, and then the congregation joins in, and it goes back and forth. It's important to understand this as we get into Revelation chapter 5. So then Revelation 5:1 is a review of what we covered 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to quickly go through this. It's important. "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sit on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." Nobody can open this scroll. We covered this 2 weeks ago. "So I wept." John the apostle weeps because it's so important to get this scroll open, and he sees that nobody's worthy. "So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. But Verse 5, one of the elders, meaning one of the 24 elders, said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah," a reference out of the Old Testament for the Messiah, which we know is Jesus. "The root of David," another euphemism for the Messiah we know is Jesus, "has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders," the 24 elders, "stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." So we see Jesus is in the center, and he's surrounded by 24 elders, which are, and they're also surrounded by the four living creatures. So that's going to be important. "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Jesus grabs the scroll out of the Father's hand. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." The Lamb is Jesus. So they're falling down, worshiping before the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each, and I'm going to say of the 24 elders, not the four living creatures. The four living creatures have wings, and these guys each, having a harp. I don't know if you can play a harp with a wing, but it's hard. And this is really important because the text, it's hard because they say each after they've said four and 24, but you have to, in context, know each doesn't mean all. It doesn't mean all. It just says each, and it can be the 24 elders, which I think is happening. So the 24 elders have a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are going to come into play later on, which are, and which is made clear here, are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of all the saints on earth, times past, saying, "God, come and fix this place." We covered that 2 weeks ago. And they, now who's they here? Is they the 24 elders? Are they the four living creatures? Or is they both? And this is important because you can't know until you carefully look at what's being said. "And they sang a new song," sang. And that's where we stopped 2 weeks ago. So how I'm going to now teach you who's singing what and what's being said and how come it's slightly different than what your Bibles have comes from a teaching that I received in 2007 when I went to Dallas to go to a pre-trib rapture conference. And Dr. John Niemela, N-I-E-M-E-L-A, who's graduate, and he gave an hour talk, and we thought about just showing you his hour talk. I'm going to shorten it down, and we're going to make it available on a Sunday evening service. So if you want to get the doctor version of the teaching, then you can come to that in the evening service. But he's from Message of Life Ministries in California. And it's titled, his topic was titled, "Revelation 5 and the 24 Elders and the Rapture." So let's just read 9 through 14, and then we're going to look in detail. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a New American, how many of you have New American Standard or NIV or one of those other ones? You're going to see a slight difference, and I'm going to explain why in the future. And that slight difference is very important. And what it says, so they sang a song. It will decide who's singing what here after we've read these verses. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times thousands, times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." So just flying at 30,000 feet here, we have 9 and 10 people are singing. Then some angels come. Then the whole host of everybody is singing. And then the four angels close it out with amen. Then the 24 elders start worshiping. So you see that there's kind of a growing crescendo of worship happening at the throne of God. So now going back to verse 9. And they, I'm going to say at first, it's just the 24 elders. And I'll show you why in a minute. And they sang a new song. And 24 elders only. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now, angels were not redeemed to God, right? We all understand that. Jesus died for humans. He didn't die for angels. Angels that rebelled and went with Satan, they're lost, they're gone. There's no hope for them. Bible makes that clear. So us means that these people were humans saved out of the church. And so it can't be the elders singing this. If us is in here, does your New American Standard have us? For those that have New American Standard, look in there. Does it say us? It doesn't say us. You know why it doesn't say us? Because there's one manuscript that doesn't say us. All the other manuscripts say us. And the one manuscript that has been found, the Greek manuscript that's been found, what you see is the scribe. It's a two-column page. They have, you know, I've seen the picture of it. It's a two-column scribe in Greek, and the scribe goes down at the end of the column, and where us was supposed to go is either at the very bottom here or at the top there. And what you see is the ink actually gets darker up here. And the conjecture by Dr. John Nameli is, it's obvious the scribe at least was distracted to go fill his pen up and might have been, honey, it's time for dinner. goes off, eats dinner, comes back, and forgets the us. All other manuscripts have us in there. But see, you have a problem if you don't understand the interaction of the rest of the song. So verse 10, now go to verse 10. And I'm going to say that verse 10 is the four living creatures, because this is what makes sense. Four living creatures now add an antiphonal. The 24 elders, they're silent now. Now they're silent, and the four living creatures are chiming in on the song, just like they had done earlier in chapter 5. But it doesn't say they're doing that. You have to deduce they're doing that. How do we deduce that? Because then the preponderance of Greek texts say, and have made, now your King James Bible say us, but that's not what the Greek texts say. The Greek texts say, and the New American Standard will show this, all the NIV, all the others say, and have made them kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. So I would encourage you to change, and you have every right to do so by the actual Greek text, is to go along with the New American Standard and all the other translations on this, because that's where the Greek texts are overwhelmingly in support of it. If you have a good King James Study Bible, New King James Study Bible, it has a little asterisk next to us and we, and it says down on the bottom that the NU, meaning the eclectic text, and the M, the majority text, all say them and they. Do you see that in your study Bibles? Now, so the question is, and I know this troubles people, there are some little problems in the translations of the Bible. They're, you know, it's just a fact. And it's understandable to see how it happened, because the translators that sees the us, when they see all the Greek text saying in verse 9, us, then it makes no sense for verse 10 to say, and you have made them kings and priests to our God, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. It has to be that way if it's us in verse 9. So They want to, it's like, how could it be them and they? Verse 9 says it's us. How can it be them and they? And so it's got to be them and they. It doesn't make any sense otherwise. And so we're going to help the text. Somehow somebody goofed it in the past. But you don't need to do that if you say the 24 elders say verse 9 and the four living creatures do verse 10, which makes perfect sense, which has already been seen in the text. And likewise, the people who are translating the Greek text, them and they stick with what the Greek text, the overwhelming number of Greek texts that say them and they. And they look at verse 9 and they see all the texts say us except one that says doesn't say us, where the column, by the way, you know, again, the column, there's us that, well, we'll use that one text because then that makes sense that there's no us. And so then it'll make sense. So do you see the debate that was in the people's minds there? Because they couldn't understand how it would make sense. But now, when we read it the way it's supposed to be, and let's go back and read it the way it's supposed to be. And actually, when he taught that in 2007, he says, I know of no translation that gets both 9 and 10 right. You have some translations that get 10 right and they don't put us in 9. And you have some translations that have us right in 9, but they mess up on verse 10 or on verse 10. And there is one. There is an apostolic Bible that has been produced, and it's just Greek transliteration. I mean, you see the actual Greek and you see the literal transliteration of it. And he uses the Septuagint in the Old Testament and it reads exactly right. It reads what we're saying, which is, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now, think about this. We're representing and you have redeemed all of us. We're up here in heaven and you have redeemed us. And there are 24 of us. And let's say, some people say, as I even said 2 weeks ago, some people say, and I was teaching, it's possible, these 24 are representative of the whole church. What Dr. John said is that I think it's literally 24 that have been selected out of all the church, and they're the ones that are going to actually be in charge of reigning. And that's how we get verse 10. And have the four living creatures say, and you, God, have made them kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. So they're explaining who these guys are. They're going to be, when God sets up his kingdom on earth, Jesus is going to be reigning on the throne. And apparently, if he's right, these 24 have been selected out of all church history. They're going to be the governors. They're going to be over the earth, and then the rest of us are also going to live and reign with Christ. We have other verses that say that. We'll be under them. Now, what Dr. John also points out is that if this is true, if this has been the selection of 24, then that means the judgment of the Bema seat of Christ has already taken place. So let's turn to Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to explain what that means. And this means if these 24 are selected out of all the church and have been selected to be the ones that will reign in power with Jesus over the repopulating world of the thousand-year millennial reign, then that means the gifts and judgments of Christians has been completed. And this is what Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says. When Paul is writing to the church people, why are you judging your brother on, you know, you're not serving God as much as me and you got to do this and do that. That's what the context of what he's saying. Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat in the Greek is bema seat. It's not a judgment of heaven or hell. It's a judgment of gold, silver, or bronze. In fact, it was used in the Greek games of a judgment seat of awards that you would be getting for performance. And the Bible says that the things that we do, well, we're going to get to that in Corinthians. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how the works that we've done for Jesus on earth are going to go through a furnace. And whatever survives is going to be a blessing and a reward to us. If it was for improper motives or things, it's going to burn up, yet we're going to be saved. So it says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11 of Romans 14. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And then I'll be going to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, bema seat. Again, second place in the Bible it's used. That's the only two places. Of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the Bible's clear. We're going to stand before Jesus on a rewards judgment seat day. And we're going to receive rewards. And those rewards are going to determine how we fit in his kingdom of ruling here on earth for a while, for 1,000 years. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So when we die and go to heaven or get raptured, where the church is over, when all the church age is done, we're all going to stand before God, and everything that we've done for Jesus is going to go into some kind of refining process. And God's going to say, he knows why we did what we did. And it's going to be tested. And if it comes out of the other side of the furnace, gold, silver, whatever, then God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And there's going to be some kind of a reward. And we know from other verses, it can't be, oh man, he got more than I got. We're not going to be that way in our glorified bodies where everything's going to be okay. And what Dr. John proposes is that process happened and the decision was made who the 24 elders are going to be. And that the 24 elders are there in heaven saying, you have redeemed us. You know, speaking for the church, the 24, you have redeemed us from every tribe and tongue and nation and, glorifying God. And then the four living creatures say, and they are going to reign forever with Jesus. Okay? And that's pretty cool. Because if that is the truth, and the true Greek texts support that view, then that means that the church is in heaven before Jesus pops a single seal. Before any of these seals go off that we're about to read, and tribulation starts, the wrath of God starts, then that's a pretty amazing verse. Pretty amazing section of scripture. And so just again as a review, and have made them, verse 10, kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then all the angels at large join in. Verse 11, again, we're reviewing what we went over. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, all the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All the glory to who? To Jesus. Now this is, John is seeing this in heaven. Where does all the glory belong? from Genesis chapter 1, all the glory belongs to God, in the beginning God, and He gets all the glory. But here we see the angels in heaven worshiping Jesus, the Lamb. Again, a testimony that Jesus is, in fact, God. In verse 13, and every says, now all the creatures of heaven and earth join in. And every creature, and you know what I think it's saying, and I hadn't thought about this before, including animals. And including even rodents that live in the ground. Don't shake your head, because I mean, I'll get to it. And every creature which is in the heaven, angelic, you know, cherubim, seraphim, everything in heaven, then everybody joins. Every creature was in heaven and on earth. The cows, the animals, everything God created. And under the earth, moles and gophers and under the earth. And such as are in the sea, fish, whales, all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And now, what justification do I have for all the animals saying that? Well, one, if they actually audibly make noise that gets translated as that in heaven, then here's something we can tell our left behind friends, is that the day that you see the animals just all of a sudden all going wacky, you know, all the dogs are barking, all the cats are meowing, all the fish are blowing bubbles, and everything's happened, know that right about then is when Jesus is going to pop that first seal, and you better go duck someplace in some cave because you've been left behind. Now, why can we even say that? Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The Bible tells us when the man fell, the creation, the animals, the donkey that would ultimately talk to Balaam and say, stop it, you're being a fool, that all creation goes, oh, Jesus, do you have to let the world be corrupted with this? Yeah, sorry. The whole world's going to be corrupted. And now everything's going to change because man fell for Satan's deception. But it's going to be okay. Someday I'm going to restore it. And see, when Jesus is getting ready to pop that first seal, that's the seal that starts to restore this planet Earth back to His glory. And it says right here that every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, they're all saying, finally, it's about to be fulfilled. And Jesus is about to take rightful ownership of the earth again. Verse 14, then the four living, you know, back in Revelation chapter 5, then the four living creatures said, amen. Let it be so. As that's what amen means. Let it be so that the Lamb is worshipped forever and ever and ever and takes power and authority. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. The church is going to be worshipping Jesus. And we get to do it even now by trusting and believing in Him. Chapter 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened up, this is Jesus popping the first seal, opened one of the seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures sing with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. He's taking John, watch what's going to happen. John, come here. You're going to record what you're going to see happening on earth at a time future to us. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. There's tons of debate about this. Some people say, this is the church. God is sending the church to go take over the world. And we're the conqueror, and we're going to go out and tell everybody how to behave, and they're all going to believe in Jesus because we're going to make them. And some people have thought that that's what it was. The preterists that think all of Revelation was fulfilled in 70 AD, and it was going to, you know, God was then going to use the church to force the world into compliance. That's it. You know, it's this kind of mindset that let them burn people that disagreed with them. We're supposed to go out and conquer, and if we have to kill people to do it, that's what we're going to do. Other people say, no, this is the Antichrist. But it says it goes out on a white horse, and a crown was given to him, and so he's the Antichrist who looks good, looks like a white guy, you know, got a white hat on, but he goes out to conquer. Well, there's no, it's a bloodless conquering. And turn to Psalm 64:7. And the one I'm going to go with is something I actually read from an 1800s commentator named Sice. And he just said, man, the only place I can see in the Bible that lets the Bible interpret the Bible is in Psalm 64:7. You know, the Antichrist is not righteous. He, you know, it shouldn't be white, but people say, well, he's a fake white. But it's a bloodless conquering. And Psalm 64:7 says, and I'm skipping some of the verses that even add some context to it, but this will be good enough, verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. So Psalm is saying that in a way God shoots an arrow and wounds people in judgment, brings them to humility to the point where the wise will respond to Jesus in giving him glory, and the upright in heart will give him glory, but the non-wise will reject. And so the first horse is God just saying, you know what I'm going to be doing for the next 7 years or plus, maybe, is I'm going to be shooting arrows, and the whole world's going to be realized, the inhabitants of the world are going to sit there and go, wow, we should listen to God. We should humble ourselves. These disasters coming upon the world are something that we should repent of our evil, wicked deeds. And the Bible makes it clear that there's a myriad, tons of people come out of the tribulation period to believe in God. They're going to lose their head. They're going to lose their lives. But a whole host of people come up into heaven because of the things that come. And that's and what happens is this is a continuous going back to Revelation 6:2. And I looked and behold a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. It's bloodless, it's constant, it's with a bow, and it's the conquest of the judgment will result in laying bare of God's word the power and judicial wound to the point where people will be coming to God. So the first thing God is doing is saying, okay, I'm doing this to try and get the last batch of humanity to humble themselves to get saved because they missed the rapture and now judgment's coming. Verse 3, because it doesn't say he's going out, well, I say bloodless because there isn't anything about he's shooting in a physical way, and what we're going to find out in the next verses is it's very bloody. See, the first one is not bloody. The second and third is. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. So there's four living creatures. So far, two of them have told John, hey, come and look at this. And what does he see? Another horse. Fiery red went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. See, the Antichrist, what does he do? He goes out and kills a bunch of people. And not conquering and to conquer throughout, he's killing people. And see, this horse is killing people. This is all of humanity starts killing one another. Are we seeing the beginning of that? You know, this guy sitting at a stoplight with his wife, and some guys walk across the street, start bashing his car hood with a hammer, and he comes out and says, stop it. So then they bashed him and killed him. And then some young girl, teenager down in Mississippi, they pour lighter fluid down her throat and light her on fire. And the cops get there when she's walking down the street, and she's totally on fire except the bottom of her feet. And then she falls on the ground. This is a couple days ago. National news. Falls down on the ground and whispers to the cops before she dies, who did it. They're keeping that secret because they want to try and go find this young girl, and just random stuff. Oh, let's add ISIS going in and completely slaughtering and beheading people, young children, men. And you know what? That's nothing. When Jesus pops the second seal, there's going to be, people are going to be unleashed. You know what? One of the most popular games during this Christmas season that's coming out, you know what it is? Anybody heard? The Ouija board. The Ouija board. And you know I've warned you about the Ouija board. And I told you that we played the Ouija board. And I didn't even know until reading this article about it being popular this year. I wondered why. I mean, everybody was playing the Ouija board when I was in high school. And we were getting into seances. We were trying to levitate one another and all this other stuff. It was the in thing to do when I was in high school. And us older gray people, I see heads shaking. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. I go, I wonder why it stopped. This article said the reason it stopped is because of the movie Exorcist came out in 1973. And the movie Exorcist in 1973 was a true story about somebody playing with a Ouija board and all of a sudden got possessed and all the evil, crazy stuff that happened in their life. And people and parents start going, it's not just a game. Maybe we should leave that on the shelf. And it dropped off the map until now. You know why it's popular now? There's a new Exorcist kind of movie out. And instead of being repulsed and afraid of it, people are going to go buy it. And my sister told me, after she became a believer, she had kept her diary. And she told me as a believer, she said, Kevin, I wrote into our diary when we started using the Ouija board. After that time, I'm swearing. And we're sneaking out of the house. We're stealing. We turn rebellious against our parents. And I think there was something to that. And I said, yeah. I don't think I got possessed. I think God protected me. I should have been. I was in so many occultic things. I should have been possessed. But God said, not you. Can't have this one. I'm reserving him for later fixing or whatever it was. But here we have the whole world going after all these occultic shows on TV, all these occultic games and books and everything else, and there is going to be hell to pay. Because as you get possessed by Satan, you don't care about some girl driving on a car. You don't care about some guy with his wife in a car. You're Satan. You're possessed by a demon, and all he wants to do is kill people. And what God's going to do with that second seal is, you didn't want me. You wanted Satan. You wanted Ouija boards. You wanted seances. Okay, I'm gone. Psh! Have Satan. And the world is going to experience slaughter like it hasn't seen since the days of Noah. Genesis 6:4. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then in Genesis 6:13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You know, one of the biggest evolutionary rebuttals to the flood of Noah and man being around in the times of the dinosaurs is, why do we find millions of dinosaurs and mammoths and everything else in the fossil record and we won't find any people? And what the strongest argument is, there weren't many of them left. Because the Bible says the thought and intent of man was wicked always. They had reduced the population just by killing each other. And there's going to be another time that happens in the future. You won't walk out of your house and think you're going to make it home alive. And the third seal, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. In other words, you will work all day long to have a meal. And not hurting the oil and wine again, people will say, well, God is saying he's not destroying the trees yet. So the olive oil will still grow and the vine will still give grapes and there will still be oil and grapes because it's not a judgment against the trees yet. Others say that oil means petroleum oil. You know, God is telling us in a future time, oh, we're going to make sure we don't hurt the oil, even though people are starving and some people, the rituals be richer. And there'll be this, the oil and wine people will be fine, but everybody else is going to be starving to death. Fourth seal, verse 7, then he opened the fourth seal. I heard the voice of the living, fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. There's 7 billion people on the earth today. So 1/4 are going to die as a result of seal 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's 1.7, close, 1.7 billion people. Close to 300 million people in America today. That's almost 4 times the American population, every man, woman, and child dead on the face of the earth during the beginning of the book of Revelation, and which might not actually coincide with 70th week of Daniel. Again, we have to keep in mind, this is the beginning of the wrath of God on earth. The church has been taken. Jesus is the one making this happen. Even though he's not actually killing, he's allowing Satan to inspire this death and destruction within the world because he has left his protection from the earth to allow this to happen. But it's his wrath that's making it happen. And it says that they are killed by murdering, by killed with a sword, with hunger, starvation, with death. Well, you know, what's death? I don't know, but I think what he's saying, by suicide. You weren't murdered with a sword. You didn't starve, but you died with death because you committed suicide. And by the beasts of the earth, predators, more than one place in the Bible makes it clear people are going to have to worry about lions and tigers and bears during the tribulation period. And in fact, Jeremy showed me last week. My uncle and cousins were pretty impressed, too, because I told them about it. You can Google or go to YouTube and do a search on mountain biker chased by grizzly. And you can appreciate what it's going to be like, because it's going to be that times, it's going to be that times hundreds, thousands all over the world. People are going to be hunted down by predators. And what you see is this guy, he's sitting on his mountain bike and he takes a look to the right and there's a grizzly bear, monster grizzly bear. Looks like he's got an angle on him, like his camera's soon going to be doing inside view of the stomach of a grizzly. And then all of a sudden he starts huffing and he's just huffing, huffing, huffing. And he looks back, bear's still chasing him down the road, go huff, 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 and you hear him. And then he looks back, it's still back there. And then there's a tree across the thing, and he bails. Unfortunately, he's able to get around and on the other side of a tree and hide from the bear. And then you hear gunshots going off, and you wonder whether or not hunters saw the chase going on and decide to take some shots. And the camera cuts off, and so you don't know what happened. But the Bible says people will be dying from the sword, famine, death, and predators on the earth during this time. As a result, 1/4 of the world's population will die, which will be later followed by 1/3 of the population dying, which is another 1.7 billion people in the tribulation period. Do we want to be here for that? No. Do we want any of our friends to be here for that? No. So we have to, that's just like that lady at Walmart that I was telling you about. It's important. It's the difference between heaven or hell. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to trust in him as your Savior because it's important. Because our being taken to go be with heaven, being with God in heaven is only through faith in Jesus Christ and abandoning all other so-called messiahs and gods and plans to only trust and believe in him until he comes to take us home. Amen? Did you have a question, Frank? Yeah, go ahead.
So many things.
Yeah.
Something bothered me. Or a question I
can't
answer. Okay, it says in there that 1/4 of the people on the earth
are right.
Later on, 1/3.
Right.
And then there's another fraction after that. Okay, so is that the one quarter being 1.7 billion.
Yeah.
And the one third, was that one third of what's left, or one third of the original one?
It'd be one, let's see, one third is going to be, because if you take, okay, say if you have four, and you take one fourth away, what do you have? You have three fourths left, which is really, now you take that one third, now you've taken a total of half, right? So I think that, later on, it's one third of what's left, which is the one of the original one fourths, which makes the total elimination of the planet, one half of the world's population is eliminated in the one fourth and one third that's coming upon the earth. So, we don't want to be here. And we can't even imagine that kind of misery. You just can't imagine. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. We thank you that no matter how we go to be with you through death, just like the people that we know that believe in you and even today are being killed by sword. Some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world dying in famine. And by beasts, Lord, that no matter how it happens, Lord, we're going to be with you because you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we so thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that you'd help us to understand that although we have that hope and we have that destiny and future with you, so many around us don't, because they've been deceived by the devil to reject you and your word and your plan for them to be able to be saved. And we pray you would help us to unlock the lies that are in their minds so that they could come to a saving faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Let's stand. Worship God.
Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Desire to worship and obey.
The Bible says the world's passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Lord, help this world pass away in our minds, because it's going away. And all of its enticements are going to be nothing when we get to be with God in heaven. So God bless you. Keep you in his care this week.